say you've had it before.
Check, 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 check. Donna, good morning. I hope everybody is doing well with a little bit of overcast and a few little drops of liquid sunshine going around in the atmosphere today. But hey, look around, give somebody a wave, give them a smile, says, I'm so glad that you're here, and I am so glad to be here myself. If you're part of our online audience this morning, be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito. We love him to death. He's your voice here with us. And if not, be sure to say hello to one another. We appreciate all Dr. Cazito does in monitoring along the way and putting the most important things out there along with our message today. One of the things that I've been mentioning over the last several weeks, and you've seen some different videos, is our North Carolina missions offering. We take that through the end of this month. You've had over the past several weeks some opportunities to see what that funding goes for. It's from your disaster recovery, your dental ministries, your health ministries, church growth, church planning. There's so many more that were not necessarily highlighted or featured on the videos. So I want to remind you of that. If the Lord leads you to contribute to that, you can get one of those envelopes in front of you. If you don't have one, we can make sure that you get one. And all you have to do is put NC Missions Offering on it, and we will make sure that 100% of what you give goes to that particular offering within the state of North Carolina to do all the ministry and missions that take place through the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. We're not going to show you a video today. We've shown you several of those over the past several weeks. But if you have any questions, be sure to let me know. We'll get those questions answered for you. But we will be taking that offering through to the end of this month. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that you give us this opportunity to gather in your house together as like-minded believers to encourage one another, Lord, to grow not only from your word, but from each other. We thank you for those times and those opportunities and the availability that you give us by which to do that. Lord, thank you for allowing us to serve you. Lord, it's a privilege to have that opportunity to do so. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to guide us in ways that we can serve you better day by day. Today, Father, as we've come into your house, we've done so to hear your word and to hear from you. And we know that you have a message for us individually because you know everything about each and every one of us. And Father, if we are faithful to put aside the distractions, if we are faithful to hear your word, then the Holy Spirit will be faithful to speak to us. And we know that. So we ask, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit would not be hindered. Father, we pray that all of the cares of today would be put aside for these few moments as we gather around your word, that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us. And then, Lord, we also ask that you give us courage along the way to be able to make adjustments that need to be made. Lord, we also pray that if there is one within the sound of my voice today that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day that there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that soul. So, Lord, this time is yours. May it be a sacred and holy time between us and you as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning.
Please stand with me as we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, hymn number 15.
Teach me so, my Lord is
I looked at the wrong bulletin there for a second. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Hymn number 61.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, so if you have your Bible, please turn over there with me. Have you ever met those people in your lifetime that often you look and you'd say, man, I tell you one thing, I wish that I had a walk like them. I wish that I had a faith like they had. How many of y'all know somebody like that? When I was saying that, it just hit you and you said, man, I'll tell you one thing. That is a person who I would love to have faith like they have. You know, and hey, I do too. I mean, there have been people, particularly you know, from this church, saints that are with the Lord right now that I've thought before. I said, wow, man, they had something going on there. I can still remember even in my previous church when I was young and first in ministry, there was a guy that I used to tease and I'd say, I hope that you and I are never praying at the same time. Because if you and I are praying at the same time, God's going to tell me to hold on because he's listening to you. And of course, I was being facetious about that. But that was just how this particular fella loved the Lord, how he trusted him, and how it was a true heartfelt relationship. Now, today, I want us to look at some particular scriptures because there are some people that I've known in my life that not only did they have a phenomenal prayer life, they had great faith in the process. Maybe I'll get to notes that I have, maybe I won't. But first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to look at our scripture passage today from 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading at verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 41. It said, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, we have come to you to prepare our hearts in worship. And Lord, I know that right now, there, even in this room, there is a battle going on where Satan is trying to distract us from hearing your word. He is trying to distract us from hearing the message that you want to speak into our hearts and to our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would just bind him at this point. I pray that for these just next few moments at least that you give us clarity into your word and that the Spirit would move freely in this place. Lord, may we never be a hindrance to somebody else. Father, we know there's a full day that lies ahead, but we'll be able to begin that shortly. May we honor the time that we will spend with you and spend with your word as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's really interesting. You got to have some background about this passage, and I know that most of you probably do. But what had happened was Israel had done Israel's thing like they had in the past. You know, there was that vicious circle that we've always talked about where Israel is walking with the Lord, and then all of a sudden they're not. They get distracted. They start their sinful ways, and then God has to punish them, and then he has to bring them back around, and then they're following God again, and it's that vicious circle. Well, we're at a particular point where they have been separated. There's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and Ahab, who was not exactly the good, best, or godly person that there was a ruler of one of those kingdoms. And what had happened was, because of what Israel was doing, there was a proclamation that there would not be rain upon the land. Now, we're not talking about a couple of weeks or a couple of months. We are talking about several years where there was no rain. Now, could you imagine what it would be like around here if we went several years with no rain? There have been times that I can remember when we've had some pretty severe drought in the Triad area where you'd go across and see the water reservoirs, and they don't look like water reservoirs. They look like old mud pits, but there's nothing in them. And we begin to worry, and all of a sudden, you can't water your lawn. You can't do all these different things. Now, that's for you folks that are in the city. I'm a country boy. I got a well. What we worry about is whether or not there's going to be any water in the well. So you know what that's like. Could you imagine? That's been a brief amount of time, but could you imagine what it would be like if it was years and years? As far as the crops, there's famine in the land. There's all these different things that are taking place and that are going on. And so what happens is, God tells Elijah after several years, you need to go talk to Ahab. You need to go, tell Ahab what's taking place and what's going on. Now, if we go back to that verse 41, it says, so when Elijah goes to Ahab, he says, get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Wait a minute. What are they in the middle of? A what? Drought. There is no sign whatsoever of rain. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? You know, you might see somebody, or maybe one of these old timers or something, you see them, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and they've got an umbrella with them. Have you ever said, and you're like, what's the umbrella for? Oh, it's going to rain. And you're like, you look around and you're like, they're crazy. And then usually you find out they're right because you're drenched in a few hours and they're not, right? Okay. So anyway, he goes to Ahab. There's been years of drought, and he says, you need to get up and eat and drink. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. There's no rain in sight. There are not even any clouds around. But yet Ahab, the king, it says, verse 42, so he went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Now, I want you to notice something about the posture of Elijah, God's servant. He was there to do business with God in prayer. Now, I want us to understand, we need to be doing business with God in prayer. And I'm not necessarily talking about a physical posture, although that's a good thing. Yeah, I still remember a guy telling me one time, he goes, I've just been having all kinds of trouble. He said, I lay down in bed and I start to pray and I fall asleep. I said, well, I can give you the answer to that question. Get up. Get on your knees on the side of your bed. If you get on the knees on the side of your bed, it's not easy to fall asleep because that's not a comfortable position, is it? But I'll promise you, you won't fall asleep. I said, try that. He goes, I will. I said, did you just lie to me? He said, no. He said, I really will do that. And he did. And of course, about a month later, I said, how's that prayer life going? He says, great, but I need something for my knees. Maybe all of us need something for our knees to enhance our prayer life. Get a pillow, get whatever it is that you need. So I'm not just talking about a physical posture, but I am talking about the prayerful posture that Elijah had when he went to the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, there's something else that's very important about this fact. Elijah, notice what it says in verse 42. He goes up to Carmel, he bows down on the ground, puts his face between his knees, and then here's what he prays in verse 43. He said to his servant, let me just put it like this. Guess what he's praying for? Rain. It hasn't rained for years. There's no sight of rain. And what is Elijah praying for? Do you have that kind of faith in your life? Now, there are a whole lot of sermons that can come out of this particular passage. Because one of them is simply this. We also need to be walking with God to the point where we're understanding what his will is. Now, I always said before, I said, man, I would have loved to have been an Old Testament Christian. You know why? Because God just came right out and spoke to you. How many times have you sat back and said, Lord, if you'll just tell me, listen, nobody's around, you can speak audibly to me and I can hear you. Have you ever done that before? God has never spoken audibly to me, but he has spoken obviously through the Holy Spirit. I have spoken audibly to him very often. Most of the time it's in the form of, what? When? It doesn't look possible. So Elijah, he goes out, and what he has done is he has gone to his private place. He has gone to a place where he can do business with God. He has taken the proper posture, both physically and prayerfully, and he has cried out to God. And you know what? I'm going to make it short. You know what he's asked him? Lord, let it rain. You know what else he did? He also told Ahab that it was going to what? Rain, when there was no rain in sight. You ever been in that particular situation? See, we like to hedge our bets. We like to know, well, I'll tell you one thing. It looks like this may turn out. I'll pray for that. It's when you get to something that's impossible without God. When you get to that particular point when it is going to take a miracle from God, most often our posture changes, doesn't it? Both physically and prayerfully. So let me just kind of sum it up this way. Elijah goes to Ahab and he says, you need to get ready. It's going to rain. Hadn't rained in years. Then Elijah goes and said, Lord, we need some rain. Hadn't rained in, you know what, what is it that Satan tells us in that particular position? If you were in Elijah's position, what does Satan generally tell you at that point? Are you nuts? It hadn't rained in years. Look, at least, if you're going to pull that, why don't you at least wait until the weather front changes and maybe there's a cloud or two? But there is nothing but clear sky. And you're like, well, Pastor Roy, how do you know that? Well, because the rest of this passage tells us what it's like. So as Elijah prays, here's one of the things I want you to get. He prayed believing that God would do what he asked him to do. Not because he was going to change his will for Elijah, but because Elijah was following what God wanted him to do, even when it looked impossible. So when Elijah prays, we come to verse 43, and it says this. He said to one of his servants as he's praying, he says, go up now and look toward the sea. Why? Because that's where the rain would have come from. So his servant gets up. Look in the middle of verse 43. So he went up and looked, and he came back with this wonderful report. Elijah, I went up and looked. Didn't see a thing. Looks just like it always does. Severe clear. There's not a cloud in the sky. Now, I want to ask you this question. At that point, what would you do? Let me tell you what a lot of people do at this point. Even at this early point, there's a lot of people that would sit back and go, well, God, what's the matter with you? I did what you told me to do, and nothing. I will promise you that if you followed the Lord any amount of time in your life, there have been some prayers that you have prayed that you have scratched your head and said, how come God's not answering this prayer? This would be for his honor. This would be for his glory. This would be a way that he could bring, you know, so much attention to himself. What's the matter with you, God? Let's go back again. Middle of verse 43. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. That's pretty persistent, isn't it? You know, I want you to picture it for a minute. I try to bring things into our modern day. If we come together as a church, and I feel like that the Lord has said, here is something that we need to pursue, and I'm like, folks, you know, we need to, you know, we've prayed about it. Now go see what's happening. And y'all come back and go, nothing's happening. And I say, go look again. You go look again. You come back and go, nothing. And I say, go look again. And y'all go look again, come back going. And I say, oh, okay, thanks. Go look again. Are you going to go look again? By the way, that reminds me of another passage, if you will remember, when one of the servant kings was told what to do. When he had disease and he was told to go down and dip into the river seven times. Remember that? Y'all remember that passage? And then he got mad. He's like, I ain't doing that, no nasty river. Why didn't they do something big? I mean, how come the guy didn't go, oh, and have all this stuff come down? Because remember, it was the little servant girl that said, look, if he would have told you to do something great, would you have gone and done it? Well, the answer to that would be, yeah, I would have. Well, here's what he told you to do. Go do it. And remember, it was seven times. If he'd have gone six, I don't believe he would have been healed. I often think about the lepers. Remember the lepers, the 10 lepers in the New Testament? When they were told, they said, look, Jesus told them, said, go show yourself to the priest. Y'all remember, right? Well, I'm sure when they sat there, they probably went, what for? I still have leprosy. You see, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest because the priest is the only one who could deem them as clean. And yet, they're like, well, I got to be healed before I can go to the priest. I got to be healed before the priest will say that I am clean. Jesus said, you go to the priest. And remember, the scripture tells us that while they were on the way to the priest, do you understand what's going on? While they were being obedient is when God kicked in. And you see, what's really cool about that passage is this. That one of them, just one out of the 10, while he was on his way to the priest, said, wow, I'm healed. But before he went to the priest, he turned back and he went to Jesus to say what? Thank you. Thank you. And remember what Jesus said? He didn't just say, well, you're welcome. In fact, he asked a question. He said, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other nine? You see, folks, I believe with all my heart that God is waiting for us in many cases to be obedient to him for him to make things happen. Sometimes we got to sit back and say, Lord, I got leprosy. I want you to heal me. And he says, go to the priest. And we're like, okay. And start heading toward the priest. Sometimes I believe that we need to be like Elijah when we cry out to God and we do so believing that God is going to answer. We have the faith that things will change. I can still remember my college days, and I can still remember how the school actually struggled, and I still remember having the privilege to be able to spend time with Jerry Falwell, whether you like him or not, over political stance. Let me tell you, he was one of the greatest men of faith you could ever come across in your life. I was there for a football game yesterday, and I looked around at a small city that's nothing like what it was when I was there to train young champions for Christ. And it all started because he had faith that God would do what he said he would do. So we go back to this passage. Seven times. Some of us have quit at time number one or number two. We've prayed to God and God says, hey, go out and look over the sea. And we've gone and said, ain't nothing there. This is a farce. Some of us have been diligent and we've made the trip two or three times. And we said, we're tired of coming up here and looking. Some of us are just about out of gas, but let me tell you something. When you show up and you keep on keeping on, verse 44 rolls around. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he, being the servant, said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. there's a couple of places to insert yourself in that story. Number one, if you are the servant, you come back. And by the way, did you notice what he said? He said, there is a cloud as small, this little old tiny cloud. That cloud ain't nothing. I mean, yeah, but we've had a drought for several years. This little old tiny cloud, I don't mean nothing. You know what? I've seen you do that with stuff that's even smaller, that's even bigger than what we're seeing right here. How many times you've been out there and somebody goes, oh, it's real cloudy out. Oh, it's going to go around us. It's going to pass. It's not going to be a problem. Sometimes it's just wishful thinking. And then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, that's not too bad. And then you got wipers on high and you can't see anything because it's like the clouds just open up. But it was interesting what happened. The servant comes back and he says, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's just this little old tiny cloud out there that don't amount to a hill of beans. That's all that Elijah needed to hear. Because what does he go on and say? Back to the latter part of verse 44. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. If I was the servant, I'd have been like, are you crazy? I mean, it's just a little old, you want me to go tell Ahab. And by the way, Ahab ain't even going to be able to see this cloud. If I go up and say, hey, look, get your chariot and get on down there before the rain stops you, Ahab's probably going to go, what? So you're going to be doubted by people. Even people who know you and love you, that when you follow what God says, they're going to think you are absolutely crazy. How many of y'all have ever been there? You have followed the Lord and people have said, you're nuts. Let me tell you why. Because it didn't make sense to them. It made sense to you because you were listening to the voice of the Father. You were following him. But it just flat out doesn't make sense to the people around you. Listen, I've had people come tell me that before as a pastor and they're like, this is the way God's leading me to go. And I'm like, oh, okay. But hey, listen, who am I to judge? They were sincere. They believed that. Let me tell you what else they were. They were right when it came down to the end. You are going to look like you are crazy to this world. Plain and simple. When you follow the Lord. But let me tell you what I love about Elijah. That was all the sign that Elijah needed. Well, there's a little old cloud out there. Great, go tell Ahab, get his chariot together. The bottom's getting ready to fall out of it. Okay. I'm going to go do what you told me. I'm going to go tell Ahab. He's going to think I'm crazy because I think you're crazy. But then verse 45 comes along. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. There was a what? There was a heavy rain. Oh, and the only sign was what? A little old cloud about the size of a man's hand. But before the cloud was the guidance of God that said, this is what you go tell Ahab to do. When there was no sign of any cloud. When there was no sign of any rain. And Elijah was faithful. Elijah did what people would say was crazy when he followed the Lord. I love that. It says, verse 45, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And I can imagine the people, after years and years of a drought, they were probably excited. Wouldn't you think they were? They were probably going, this is great. This is what we've been needing. Make sure that the catch barrels are ready. Make sure we do everything. We don't know how long this is going to last. It says, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. You know why? Because he was warned. Look, you better, your chariot's not four-wheel drive. It's four-foot drive. But the thing about it is, you best get out of here, because this rain is going to stop you. This rain is going to be something that you're going to have to pull over, because the wipers on your helmet ain't going to do right. So you best get on out before the rain gets to going. Can you imagine hearing this? If you're Ahab, once again, it's like, sometimes I think one of the greatest things that you read about in the Bible, or the things that we don't even say really or preach about, is the fact that Ahab actually did it. I mean, Ahab actually looked out, and he couldn't see anything at the time as far as a sign of rain, but he said, well, that's what the prophet said. Hook up the chariot. I must be on my way. To me, I find that incredible in and of itself. But I will promise you that when Ahab started out of there, he saw the thunder clouds rolling in. He saw that the word of the prophet that came from the Lord was exactly true as it had been said. I said before that I think that there's something to be said about great faith and great prayer. I've learned that in 32 years of ministry, prayer is not part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. Without prayer, nothing gets accomplished. Nothing of significant difference matters outside of prayer. It's not about doing my will or your will. It's about doing His will. And His will sometimes confuses people. Well, here's what I want you to do. And you know what we're prone to do? Why? And the Lord says, because I said so. Ugh. Remember, I've told y'all before, and some of y'all are in that same position, you hated to hear that as a child. Well, son, I want you to do this. Why? Because I told you to. Well, that's not good enough. Yeah, it was. Mom and Dad, you respected them. If not, remember, Board of Education, seat of learning. That's what happened. We didn't always have to understand it. We didn't have to understand anything that was going on. All we had to do was be obedient to God. And in the end, we generally understand it, don't we? Verse 46, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, I said before, there are many sermons that we could get from this particular passage. There are many ways that we could go with this particular, but I'm not today. I'm not going to preach four sermons in one. I'm doing good to get one. I got notes today that I didn't even look at again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But I will say this, what it boils down to is simply the fact that you and I need to be obedient to what it is that God is telling us to do, even when we don't understand it. Elijah's persistence in prayer resulted in the breaking of the drought and the coming of the rain. We can learn from his example. We can cultivate our heart of persistent prayer in our own lives as he modeled it for us in his. We got to trust in God's promises. Man, I can still remember, like I said, hearing stories of great men of faith who prayed believing that God was going to take care of them. We've actually heard of some of those over the years here in church, some of the great oldies, as it were, and I'm drawing a mental blank right now of the preacher's name, but ran the orphanage. Remember, they didn't have food. You got a couple hundred kids in an orphanage and couldn't feed them. They'd come and say, look, Pastor, we don't have food for the kids today. And he didn't go, oh no. You know what he did? He said, it'll be all right. God's going to take care of it. And he would go and he would pray and he would say, Lord, you see all these kids? They need some food. And we ain't got no money. And we ain't got no food. But this is a need. So, Lord, I don't have a problem. You have one. By the way, dinner starts at 6. Every single time, God showed up. All of a sudden, an hour or so later, here comes this big old supply of groceries. Well, they donated this from down the street or what have you. And here's the interesting part. The pastor wasn't sitting there going, oh my goodness. Wow, what a surprise. It didn't shock him that God answered the prayer. But how many times are you and I shocked because God answers our prayer? Yeah. Hey, have we got that kind of faith? Lord, dinner's at 6, 200 kids, no food. What time do you want me to have the kitchen crew come in? And then be able to say, well, kitchen crew, y'all come on in. Make it at about 4. It'll probably take 2 hours to prepare dinner. Well, what's for dinner? Well, I don't know yet. Well, what have we got to cook? Well, I don't know that yet either. Are you sure we're having dinner? Yeah. Well, is it in the storage area? No, that's empty. Well, where's the food? I don't know yet. But it'll be here by the time dinner time rolls around. Do you pray with that kind of faith? Now, I want us to be careful too, because I want to make sure I mention this before I close our time today. That doesn't mean that you talk God into your way. What it means is that you learn God's way and you come around to God's way of thinking and you do it the way God wants you to do it. You see, there's a difference in that. It's not that you're going to persuade God. He's already got a plan. But it's about us understanding His plan and trusting His plan, even when it looks dark and even when it looks dismal and even when it looks impossible. That's tough, isn't it? That's a hard thing to do, because we're so used to all the horizontal relationships that we have. Oh, Lord, this is the way I look at it. Hey, guys, it's going to rain. And there's not a cloud in the sky. Hey, Lord, you know, can you make it rain? It's only been in drought for several years. Yeah, today's going to be a different day. By the way, the thing with Elijah was, Elijah didn't come up with that. God told Elijah what to do, and that is the difference. See, you got too many people today going out on their own and saying, God told me this, and God told me that, and God didn't tell them a thing. You're not going to bring God around to your way of thinking. You got to be on His way of thinking. And how do you get on His way of thinking? Don't let me get preacher on you. Don't let me get soapbox on you. You got to get in this, and I ain't talking about just on Sunday. This is your spiritual food. I tell you what, if you really want to test something, make sure that your physical nourishment is on the same level as your spiritual nourishment. I guarantee you, a whole bunch of people would walk in the doors looking a whole lot skinnier next week. If you ate food in the same way you eat your spiritual food, a lot of you'd be starving to death. Come on now. It's the truth. Some of you got up this morning and went, oh, it's church day. Let's get all the dust off of this thing. It's got 2 weeks on it because I forgot it last week. Are your kids are drawing their names in the dust on the Bible? Come on now. Here is where you learn. Here is where you grow. I love coming to be a part of God's word with God's people. I love my small group guys. I love being able to get together with them and learn from the word and learn from each other. But for some odd reason today, in today's society, church has been relegated to, well, I'm going to give you an hour on Sunday morning. You better entertain me and it better be good. And it better be loud. Well, I'm sorry, we don't have no smoke machines in here. And ours pretty much sounds the same thing, same way if it's unplugged. We can do acoustic sets. But we're here to worship the Lord. And I pray that's what you came here today to do as well. And I pray that as you leave this place today, you're going to do so with your faith grown or stretched. Because here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to like it either. God's going to challenge you with the message that he's given you today in some way. He's going to ask you to do something that seems impossible to do. He's going to ask you to deal with a situation, take care of something or whatever, that it doesn't look like it's earthly possible. But it is possible with the Lord. And what he's going to do is he's going to ask you to have great faith as you pray based on how he's led you. And here's what's going to happen. If you persist, if you are diligent, if you go seven times and look, you're going to see God do something so incredible that you'll talk about it for the rest of your life. And he's going to do that in your life. No, I'm not standing up here as a prophet by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just a simple old plowboy for the kingdom. But I will tell you this, God doesn't bring you a message just to let it falter and fall to deaf ears. He's wanting to challenge you. He's wanting to challenge your faith. And are you going to trust him? Can you be the Elijah of this story? Lord, we need it to rain. Ain't rained in a long time. Could you imagine what Satan will be doing to you? You're like, Lord, I need it to rain. Satan's going to be going, look, everything's dried up and dead. There's no rain in the forecast. What are you doing? And you're like, shh, be quiet. Lord, we need you to make it rain. Why? Because you asked me to. Did you get that? Because you asked me to. Not because I just came up with this on my own. Because you asked me to. And you know what the Lord's going to do? If you're faithful, if you're persistent, the Lord's going to say, watch this. Watch what I can do. Just like old Ahab, driving in the rain. You better get out now. Gonna rain. Okay. Some of y'all been there before and you thought, wow, I never thought this would ever happen this way, but it did. Today, folks, we need to take time to reflect upon our own prayer life. Are you praying with confidence? Are you praying with humility? Are you praying with persistence? That's what we've learned in this passage today. So you need to ask God to help you to grow in these areas and deepen your relationship with him through prayer. Remember, prayer is not a part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. And let us remember the power of persistent prayer and continue to bring our requests before God, who is faithful, who is just, who wants you to give him the credit for what he can do. So let me ask you this question. Brad, you guys come on up. The first question, the most important question, is simply this. Are you a believer? Have you trusted in Christ? Are you saved? Whatever the terminology that you may have heard is. It's not about going to church. That just helps you grow in your faith. It's not about what you did when you were five or six or a teenager. You know, I've had a whole bunch of people say, well, you know what? I did all right. I prayed with the preacher and I'm good. No, you're not. I believe that you're going to fall into a category of not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to make people doubt their salvation, but what I am trying to make people do is ensure that there was a true conversion experience. You see, when you have a true conversion experience and you become a child of the King, it changes you through and through, inside and out. You no longer have the desires that you used. That doesn't mean that you don't mess up. We all mess up, don't we? But the thing about it is, when we mess up, there's conviction of the Holy Spirit. First of all, there was conviction that we shouldn't have done it. Then when we messed up, there's conviction that you need to repent from it. Is that conviction there for you? Are you thinking you're going, well, my grandma was a really good Christian. I'm going to make it because of her. I actually hear stuff like this. I'm like, no. Now, if you want to see grandma again, you better get your act together. You better trust Jesus. And I'm not talking about I checked the box, I filled out the card, I spoke with the pastor. It's about, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. You already know everything about me. I want to get to know you. Have you done that? Now listen, if you're not, there's a way to begin that relationship. It's your confession to Him. It's you saying, Father, I understand that I am a sinner. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. And help me live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, then you've trusted the Lord. That is step one. He just gave you a hug. He says, now let's talk about the future. Not, well, go out the door and I'll see you next Sunday, 1 hour a week, and you're good. No. Listen, if you trusted Christ, let us know. We want to help you begin that pattern of discipleship. Don't let that word scare you. Discipleship's fun if it's done right. I have all kinds of fun. Can't wait to meet with my group today. Look around, see a lot of these guys. It's going to be a good time today. Discipleship is the kids in Awana. It's being with Pastor David tonight in Bible study. It's where you learn, where you grow close to Him, where you get to know Him. Help us help you. If you trusted Jesus, please let us know. If you're part of all our online audience, let Dr. Cazito know. He'll give me your information. We'll get in touch. We're not going to sell your email address. We're not going to put you on telemarketers, and we're not going to bother you to death. We're going to present for you an opportunity, and that opportunity is up to you. Maybe you're here today, and you said, you know what? I have been coasting. I've been a coaster. Yeah, sometimes it's, remember those bicycles built for two? I used to ride one of those when I was younger. It wasn't ours. The doctor down the street had it, but we used to play bicycle tag and all that when kids actually used to get outside. Remember those days? And it was always me and the preacher's son that they would give the bicycle built for two. Now, we were terror on wheels, I'll tell you. And most of the time, I was the one that was driving the bicycle because I couldn't do that thing on the back because it actually had handlebars, but they didn't work. They were just something to hold on to. But, man, I can still remember we were making tracks down through them side streets and everything else. And I was like, man, I am tired. I said, this is killing me, man. My legs are hurting and everything else. And I still remember looking back behind me, and the preacher's son had his feet kind of up. They weren't on the pedals, but they were up. He wasn't pedaling. Well, come on, man, this is a two-man engine. Let's go. He's like, I've just been enjoying the ride. I said, I know, my legs are stinging. I know you've been enjoying the ride. Some of y'all been enjoying the ride too long. It's time to get your feet on the pedals. Listen, don't sit back and say, oh, well, I've just been terrible for years. Okay, ask God to forgive you. He will, and today becomes a new start. Become what He wants you to become. Forget the past, putting those things behind you and reaching and striving forward for the things that lie ahead. Isn't that what the Word tells us? That's what we need to do. What do you need to do? Do you need to just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, look, I've screwed this thing up and I'm sorry. That's a really good prayer at times. God says, yeah, I know, and okay. You're forgiven. Will you do that today? Whatever the situation may be with you, whether you've trusted the Lord, whether you're coming back to Him, whatever it may be, I want you to know this. If you need me, I'm here. This altar is here, and we still believe in a good old-time invitation. So if you need to do some business before the Lord, would you do that now as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 275, I Surrender All, and Brad Lee. As your eyes are closed, as you pray for yourself and those around you, make sure that you respond to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart today, because you have been exposed to His Word, and because of that, He's had a message for you. Have you picked that up? As you continue to do business with the Lord, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you have blessed us in many ways, ways that I can't even begin to describe or we can't even imagine. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to you as we worship you by returning the tithe and offering. May your kingdom go forward, and may each and every one of us be blessed for having been obedient to give back to you, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Just a couple things, and we'll get you guys on out of here. As far as birthdays, we don't have any anniversaries this week. We've got a couple birthdays coming up. Wednesday, Sandy Stewart will have a birthday. Friday, our own Bonnie Ramba. And then on Saturday, Jeff Willard and Melinda White. So if you get a chance, be sure to hug their neck. Happy birthday. You know how it goes. It's coming up. Randy, but he better do you right. If not, you let me know, okay? Fix him right up. Don't have any anniversary show for this week. Let me tell you about the things we've got going today and upcoming. Today, my discipleship group, D-Life group, will meet at 3:30 in the FLC 116. That's the room right across from the kitchen over there. There is a 3:30 building and grounds meeting in classroom 6. Choir practice is back in full swing, 4:45, right here in the sanctuary. Today, we begin our 2024-25 Awana year. So that's going to start at 5:30. Tonight is registration. But if you are a leader, please be there at 5 o'clock in the gym. If you'd like to help out with Awana, you can see Jim right over there. Raise your hand, Jim. Or Jana right there, looking in the same direction. We'll get you listening with the kids and moving along. So pray that the Lord sends us a bunch of folks that we can have a time to disciple along the way. So again, that starts back up tonight. If you're a leader, 5 o'clock. If you are bringing a child or registering, that'll be 5:30. Band rehearsal is tonight, right after the Bible study, right here in the sanctuary, roughly 7 o'clock, we'll put it that way, okay? So band is kicking back up in a new season as well. Tomorrow, Monday, Steve Kelly's D group will meet his discipleship at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, every Wednesday, 10 a.m., there's a men's breakfast at the Olympic in Colfax. No agenda, just a time to build some relationships and enjoy some food, so drop on in for that. Thursday at 4 o'clock, there's a finance team meeting. Is that right, Sandra? Okay, 4 o'clock, finance team meeting. Where are you guys going to meet? I was just seeing if you were paying attention. That's right. FLC 116, which is the room right across from the kitchen. So if you're on finance team, be sure to be there so we can make some plans financially in that regard. Ladies' beach trip, that is 9:25. Is that a meeting? Yeah, y'all having a planning meeting, right? Planning meeting on the 25th at 6:30. 6:30 to 7:30 in FLC 116. Three available places. Like juggling, isn't it, Marcia? Three available slots. Ladies, if you want to go on this beach trip, I promise you, you won't regret it. You'll have the time of your life. You'll grow closer to each other. You will grow closer to the Lord, I promise you. There's three available opportunities. See Miss Marcia. That's Marcia right back there. Wave, Marcia, in case you don't know. She can get you squared away. Ladies Connections meeting is October the 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. FLC 116, where we'll wear that room out. Ladies monthly breakfast is on October the 9th at Cagney's at 9 a.m. We've also got a baby shower coming up, Aaron Wright Sykes baby shower. That's going to be on the 5th of October from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's going to be a long shower, isn't it? Getting ready to say, man, 2 to 5. This thing says 8. 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on October the 5th, starting at 2 p.m. Right here. Sign up in the narthex. There's a sign up sheet back there, so they'll know how many to plan for. So. The shower's at 5 o'clock. Hey, look, man, I'm just reading the cue card. But the shower is at 5 o'clock on October the 5th. Let me make sure I got that right. Aaron's shower is on October the 5th at 5 o'clock. October the 5th, say October the 5th. Say 5 p.m. That means it's stuck in your brain. Okay, there we go. I'll try to do better next time. At any rate, just as a reminder, we do have the October the 6th D-Life Boot Camp. That's a Disciple Life Boot Camp. We were going to be having a combined service with Awaken Church at 10:45 over in the gym. The author of D-Life, Bill Wilkes, will actually be preaching that Sunday, and he will be doing that boot camp, he and his wife, Rondi. If you look, you've seen probably on our website the podcast that we shot for the Piedmont Association. as well as a message from Bill Wilkes coming to be here with us on that particular day. There's going to be the training is from 4 to 7:30. There is a meal. There is a registration cost. I think it's $15. I've messed everything up. So just prepare for $15. I also told them that we're just the QR code thing. We're not going to do that. So there is a sign-up sheet back there in the narthex. If you would like to be a part of this, please sign up and we will take care of you when you get here. Because if I had trouble signing up on it, you will too, okay? Because I'm a little bit computer savvy, and that was hard. I said, we ain't doing that. We're going to sign up at the door. We're going to do it old school way. So show up with $15, but sign up so we'll know how many people to prepare for. I promise you, it'll be a great opportunity. This will be a great opportunity for you to be able to get into a small group discipleship with some people that you know, and it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It could be any. We're going to build some groups that come out of this particular training. So please be a part of that. As a reminder, September is North Carolina Missions Offering Month. Anything that you give towards North Carolina Missions goes directly to them. We'll be taking up donations for that through the 29th. Also, there is a combined women's luncheon on the 26th from 2 to 4 in the gym. Okay. I don't know what combined means. That's why I'm a little scared to say that. It's with Awaken. Okay. And with Awaken's ladies, I feel better now. I'm like, make sure of what I'm saying up here. So that's going to be on the 26th of October from 2 to 4 in the gym, combined with Awaken's ladies and our ladies. And then finally, the 2024 Women's Retreat. That's the one Marcia was saying. She's got three slots for that. It's going to be October the 10th through the 13th. Marcia or thank you. Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks. They'll get you squared away. That's Mari right there. One other thing I want to remind you of, we have got our date set for our Cuba mission trip for 2025. That is going to be February the 28th through March the 7th. That's our annual trip that we usually go to Cuba. So that's going to be February 28th through March the 7th. If you are anticipating on going on that, please let me know. We will have to have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed by probably the first part of the middle of November. It takes 3 months requisition on the visas to be able to go there. So if you're going to pray about it, the Lord's going to let you know really, really fast, because there's a deadline on this. So please, please let us know. We look forward, as always, to being able to be a part of what God's doing over there. It is incredible. I've got some pictures and videos to show you. I get them every day of the little kids that you guys support through Ducaro Church. These little kids have an opportunity to eat because you've been faithful not only to send but to give. It's so cool. Pastor David, we got a lot going on, so be sure to be a part of that. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for worshiping in spirit and the truth with us today. Pastor David's going to let us know anything I have forgotten, and then he's going to see us off in a word of prayer, and we look forward to the time when we gather up again.
A couple of things. I want to say just one more word about the band. We do play here worship services. You see us here, but we play out in the community too. September the 29th, we'll be playing at Heritage Day in the park. If you play an instrument, we're just getting ready to start preparing for that. So you want to show up tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm sure Jim will be glad to have you. We get to play then. We play Veterans Day. Every time we get a chance, there's a holiday and something going on at the park. Usually you'll find our band there playing. And then on September the 29th, Sunday night, September the 29th, we're having what old-fashioned fifth Sunday night singing, okay? If you sing, want to sing a solo, be with a group or something, we'll have a sign-up sheet out for you can sign up. But we want you to come whether you sing or not. We'll have a lot of music that night. We'd love for you to be here. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we're so thankful for your love for us, for your miracle-working power. Lord, you demonstrate your miracle-working power in our lives every day, and we just want to thank you and praise you for it. Lord, as we go from this place today, we pray that you'll take the message we've heard, apply it to our lives, and share it with those we come in contact with, that others might have that faith and know the truth about who you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.